Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's the Overtime Show. Here's Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase.
All right, gang, welcome into the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase here with you for the next couple of hours to go over this Bills 31-6 victory on Thanksgiving night. And first and foremost, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there listening this evening. We appreciate you tagging along as always. We'll hear from Coach Sean McDermott coming up shortly. We'll hear from Josh Allen as well. We'll get you eye on the quarterback. We'll go over the country sweet play of the game. We'll get connected with our fans and get you locked and loaded for next week's big matchup against the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. So rest up, Bills Mafia. Kick your feet up this Sunday. Watch some football from around the league. The Patriots and the Titans will face off in a pretty important AFC game as well this Sunday, with a lot riding on the line now with the Bills and Patriots tied for the top of the AFC East as it stands. The Patriots still have a bye week to get in before the end of their season as well. So 803-0551, 888-552-550. Joe, tell me what you think when I say this about this game. I just feel like I didn't learn a damn thing today. I'm a little fuller. I probably weigh a couple more pounds from eating. And at no point did this feel like a stressful outing. Like, obviously, you have the two interceptions, one of which probably wasn't on Allen. Probably could have got rid of the ball quicker. Overall, the only thing I leave this game thinking is if Trey White's hurt for an extended period of time, I guess I don't know where to go with it from here.
I mean, that's the story of the game. If that ends up being something that takes him out for potentially the season, if it's as bad as we're all, I think, imagining it could be. I don't think I learned anything either. Just kind of a kick your, right, like you said, like chill, hang out, watch the game, not ever feel threatened at all, not feel like the sky is going to fall today. It might be next week, it might be next Monday night, when we feel like the sky is falling, but it's not going to be tonight at least. But no, beating Trevor Siemian and the Saints at like 30% strength, you did what you were supposed to do.
Right.
You're going to avoid criticism. You're not going to get credit, but you're going to at least avoid criticism.
From the start of the season, the Saints were down 14 starters today.
Well, 14. Think about it. They're down quarterback one.
Quarterback
Winston,
two.
Wide receiver one.
Yep.
Michael Thomas hasn't played all year. Running back one and two. Tight end one.
Right tackle one.
Right tackle played. Terron Armstead did play, but he even didn't look normal tonight.
No.
So maybe you were at 50% on the left side.
Davenport on the defensive side.
Yep.
Like they were just ravaged with injuries. Let's take a look at the Skyworks stats of this game. Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, your construction equipment and tool rental source, building America from the ground up. Visit SkyworksLLC.com. And the tale of this game can probably be looked at right through the lens of the stats in this game. Bills 21 first downs in this game to the Saints 12, and then total plays are pretty close from this game. 62 for the Bills, 57 for the Saints, but total total yardage just to complete, just completely tilted in the direction of the Bills. 361 yards to the Saints, 190 in yards per play in this game. 5.8 for the Bills and just 3.3 for the Saints. It was very clear early in this game that with the injuries on the offensive side of the ball, there just really wasn't a lot to go off of today from the New Orleans Saints. Let's go for our Eye on the Quarterback now, which is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Josh Allen in this game, short of those two interceptions, played a real doozy today, ending with four touchdowns, three in that second half, 23 of 28, just five incompletions in this football game, 260 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. He finishes the game with 115.2 quarterback rating. So all in all, it was a good game from Josh Allen. Short of those interceptions that you go back and you look at in the first one, you really want Allen to see that defender sort of draped all over Stephon Diggs. All of us over the last couple of weeks have sort of been pushing and complaining a bit for Josh Allen to feed the ball at times, maybe overfeed the ball to Stephon Diggs on that play. The defender was just in a better position. Bradley Roby, who is a good corner, just ended up in better position and a bad throw from Josh Allen. That's his first interception. The second one, he gets hit from Cameron Jordan on the arm. The ball comes out, and Quan Alexander, quite frankly, just makes an unbelievable play to secure that interception. But again, Josh Allen finishes with four touchdowns on the afternoon, two to Dawson Knox, one to Stephon Diggs, and one at the end on a screen pass to Matt Breida. We'll talk a little bit more about Matt Breida, Stephon Diggs, and this Bills offense, a little bit more about Tre'Davious White as well. We got a couple of open phone lines, 803-0550-1-888-552-550 are the numbers to call. We're going to take a timeout because on the other side, we're going to hear from head coach Sean McDermott. We'll continue breaking down this Bills 31-6 win on Thanksgiving Day here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Allen under center, takes the snap, fakes the handoff, back to throw, fires to the end zone. It is caught in the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Stephon Diggs, a 5-yard touchdown catch from Josh Allen.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase here with you. John Murphy there on the call. The Bills beat the Saints on Thanksgiving Day. The nightcap of the Thanksgiving Day spread 31-6 over the Saints. The Saints, they fall to 5-6 on the season. And if you can believe it, just 3 weeks ago, this exact New Orleans Saints team, Trevor Siemian comes into the game for an injured Jameis Winston, and they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady and the whole assortment of players that the Buccaneers have on that roster. And somehow, some way, they lost to this Trevor Siemian-led New Orleans Saints team. All right, before we go to the phones, let's get you caught up with a couple of other games from earlier. The Raiders and some of what this means for the AFC, and I saw Joe tweet about something that we'll talk about here in just a moment as well. The Raiders get a 3-point overtime win over the Dallas Cowboys. An interesting loss, I think, in terms of narratives and talking points from around the league. What people are going to be saying about the Dallas Cowboys after dropping that one to a Raiders team that quite frankly looked like their season was starting to come to a close. And then the Bears, they win early on in the first afternoon game today, 16-14 over the Lions. Lions dropped it 0-10-1 on the season. Let's go to the phones before we go to Sean McDermott, who will be joining the media here momentarily. Let's go to Jeff in New Jersey. Jeff, you're on the postgame show. Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving too, Jeff.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. I just wanted to talk a minute about Matt Breida. I thought he brought really a lot to the offense in the first half. I was a little disappointed to see his playing time kind of fall off in the second half. Had a thought that maybe he had a little bit of a snafu on the screen pass late in the first half there that might have impacted his playing time in the second half.
That's kind of what I was thinking too, Jeff. And, it's part of one of the things that I don't love about McDermott sometimes is these like sort of selective dog houses that he puts guys in. And, obviously today Zach Moss and Isaiah McKenzie, both healthy scratches for the Bills. And I think there's a couple of plays you could probably go back to and point to and say, all right, well, that's sort of the reason. Like today, seeing Matt Breida sort of get exiled for the better part of the second half until later on in the fourth quarter is a little puzzling to me, just considering, the fumbling issues that Devin Singletary himself has had. But again, to your point, Jeff, I think in the opportunities that Breida had today, I think he's just sort of confirming a lot of the things that fans, myself, you know, people that cover the team have been sort of pushing for and yearning for the past couple of weeks. And I think Breida really brings a level of juice that neither Singletary or Moss sort of really bring to the table. So I liked early on in this football game how they were able to establish the run with him. When he gets to the second level, it is noticeable the difference between he and Singletary. He's able to that acceleration after his first couple of steps is really impressive to me. And again, he just sort of brings a different element to the run game than Singletary and Moss do. But I appreciate the call, Jeff. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and appreciate you calling in. Let's grab another phone call. Let's go to Billy in Buffalo. By the way, we will get Josh Allen here in just a few moments, but probably before Sean McDermott. So we'll play you Josh Allen live when that comes down the pipe. We've got Ed Oliver and Mario Addison speaking with the media now. You'll also hear from both Mario and Ed later on in the program as well. We've got a couple of open phone lines for you at the moment. 803-0551, 888-552-550 are your numbers to call. Let's go to Billy in Buffalo. Billy, you're on the postgame show. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving to all, to you and all the listeners there following the Bills. Just want to say a few things. One, I'm glad to see that the Bills rebounded soundly and won a game that they really should have won. They're a healthier team, and New Orleans really banged up, so they really should have won this game, and they did. But I still have concerns about the offensive line and the running game and how deep we are at certain positions, particularly the O-line. And now with the injury to Jadavious White, you know, I wonder how our cornerback situation is in our secondary. So even after this, I have concerns going into a game against New England on Monday night that if we're not fully prepared or fully healthy in a lot of positions, that it may not turn out favorably and we may struggle. You know, I'm presuming we're going to win because we're on our home field there, but you know, it's going to be a struggle, and I hope that the coaching staff and the players are able to rectify some of these issues in time to be ready for New England on Monday night and hopefully like win out and win the division. That's all I have to say for now. Again, happy Thanksgiving to all who are listening, and enjoy.
Thanks, Billy. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, my friend. Thanks for calling and listening. Yeah, you know, I think obviously the Trey White injury is going to sort of be the topic of conversation from this football game. And I think it's maybe more so the level of confidence even after last week, even after the Jacksonville Jaguars game. Coming into this game, it sort of felt like a formality. And then you watch the first drive. The Bills get a 3-and-out on defense to start the game. The offense takes over, goes down the field, 10 plays, 65 yards. He finishes with a Dawson Knox touchdown. And it's sort of all feels right with the world, then the Trey White injury happens, and then it's the game almost becomes secondary to the thoughts and sort of worries that you have about how this team can sort of continue on the defensive path they've been without their best defensive player. And I mentioned this sort of on Twitter during the game, and I don't want to say that I've backed off the stance, but listen, I mean, if Trey White's out for the season, if he is torn his ACL, I don't have a lot of confidence that this is a football team without Trey White that's going to compete for an AFC title. And that's not a shot at the rest of the roster. I think what it is a bout of confidence or to give you the context of just how valuable Tre'Davious White is to this defense and to this football team. I think short of Josh Allen, Tre'Davious White is probably the second most important piece, most valuable piece to this team and their ability to win football games. And without him, I'm just not sure I feel the same or even close to the same with Dane Jackson in the football game. And it's not, you know, it's not a shot at Dane. I just, you know, he's a second-year player. I think the one sort of bright spot if you want to talk about can this Bills team overcome an injury to that position? Here's I'll give you a sort of worst case and best case scenario here, right? Is going into this season, Joe, and I mean, I know you would agree with this. I think everyone was sort of wondering what you do at corner, right? I think that the depth was always in question this season at the cornerback position. That just hadn't been tested to this point. And if you're missing Tre'Davious White for the rest of the season, that depth is not only going to be tested, but if you get an injury to Levi Wallace, you get an injury to, you know, Dane Jackson, what then happens? And that's sort of the bigger concern for me. I think at the end of the day, this is a defense that relies pretty heavily on zone coverage, and I think you feel fine if Dane Jackson's got to go in the game and just drop back in his quarter zone and play cover four and just be responsible, do his 111th, and maybe you can skate by. The problem I have is one of the reasons this defense has played so well against the pass this year is they have felt more confident running more man coverage this year. They're running more man coverage this year than we saw over the last two seasons combined. That sort of injury to Tre'Davious White makes you a little bit more one-dimensional as a defense in coverage, and I wonder if how that might affect the defense overall. It's going to really put, I think, a lot of pressure on the front four, a unit that I think has performed well to this point, and I think the pressure is going to be on if Tre'Davious White is out for any period of time. Let's go to the podium, and let's hear from Josh Allen.
It was a good night. You know, getting the victory by any means. Still some things to clean up, and we'll look at that on tape and learn from it. But happy for how our guys responded from, you know, a short week and a tough loss on Sunday. And, as you can hear, the music's loud and guys are celebrating a little bit. And it's hard to win in this league. You know, we're not going to apologize for winning the way we do. And happy that our guys came out and played the way they did.
We talk a lot about you getting the ball to Diggs, and you know you want to get it to him. They know you want to get it to him. To see the plays he made for you tonight, what did it do for your offense? What did it do for the whole team tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of player he is. He's extremely special. When the ball's in his hands, just running after catch, making guys miss. Obviously, when the ball's in the air, he does a great job of tracking it and making plays for us. And teams have to respect it. And, I'm glad we got some running game going tonight and forcing them to kind of give us some different looks that maybe that they weren't expecting. And, Diggs took advantage of it and just trying to get him the ball. But I think, again, all of our guys, you know, I don't know if there's a whole bunch of opportunities down the field, but being crisp in their routes, being smart, finding zones, Cole Beasley, E making some great catches, obviously Gabe making some unbelievable plays as well, and it's just kind of what we expect from him. And, we're going to need everybody going forward, and we got to start stacking wins.
Josh, they showed a replay on TV of the Diggs touchdown, the route that he ran. I don't know if that's guardable by anybody in the NFL. What do you see on that play, and what is that route called? And what, I mean,
Diggs get open, basically. He's a route technician. I think everybody knows that. I don't know what you're supposed to do when you're out there with him, because he's very smart with the way that he sets you up, and the quickness and the speed that he kind of gets out of his cuts, it's pretty unbelievable. So I saw him open. I just tried to get it to him as quickly as possible before he got out too wide. So see open, throw open, and he made a great play.
You had a couple of games this year without Dawson. What changes on offense when he is on the field? And what's it like seeing him continue to have this tremendous season?
Yeah, I mean, he continues to get better when the ball's in the air, especially just making plays on the football. He's going to be bigger than most DBs and faster than most linebackers and shoot maybe even faster than most DBs. I mean, he's got unreal athleticism, and he's putting it together right now. It's really fun to be playing with him. On top of that, he's just a great person off the field as well. And just you see the type of man that he is, and it's a guy that you want to play with, because he's going to give you the respect that you want to give him, and he's just an awesome teammate.
The fourth and two talked about after the second touchdown was wiped out at the end of the half.
He made a great play. I put the ball in harm's way a little bit too much there, and fortunately he came down with it. And I know we had a couple guys out down the field, but again, there's a few mistakes that we need to clean up, and some things that can happen. But again, we'll focus on that in this next week.
Touchdown. You had a couple plays in the last few weeks where you punted once, fourth and short, you kicked a field goal, fourth and short. Is that a sign of faith? I mean, you know, Sean has a lot of faith in you guys, but and do you feel that at all when they're getting that opportunity and you make the play like that?
Absolutely. You want coach to have supreme faith in you, especially fourth down situations where You know, analytics say one thing, but sometimes the coach's gut says another thing, and hopefully he sides with us more often than not, because we got guys that want to make plays, and you know, I'm one of those guys included that just want to do everything I can for this team. So, you know, I'm thankful that he let us go for it there.
Josh, you were a little more involved in the run game time yourself. Was that partially based on watching what the Eagles did with them last week, where they had Ertz involved with them?
I mean, I think we took a couple things for them, especially it being such a short week. Just finding some things that worked for them and just trying to incorporate it into our game plan. But it's really just base stuff that we've had for a long time that we just kind of threw back in. And I think Coach Dable did a great job of sprinkling those in when he did.
Josh, can you explain the standard that you guys have? Because it seems like even after your big wins, you win by a big margin, there's still a very common theme among you guys and Sean that there's a lot to work on. And here we are with 12, and you just won another big one, but there's these things. Can you maybe just elaborate on what this standard is and why you haven't had that game despite these big margins?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, Coach always talks about playoff caliber, and that's the team we want to be. Whatever it takes to get into the playoffs, to give yourself a chance to win the whole thing. And again, you can't win the Super Bowl without making the playoffs. The easiest way to get into the playoffs is winning your division, you know. And we gotta, like I said, continue to find ways to stack these weeks. And again, every week is a one game season that we gotta look at it that way and find ways to win football games here going forward. But again, it's the pursuit of perfection, you know, that this team, we're not just happy with winning. Again, we want to be the best versions of ourselves. Every day we step into that building, every time we step on the field, we want to be the best teammate, the best player that we can possibly be, and you feel that amongst the guys. And again, it's a great feeling coming into work and having the guys that we have here, having the staff that we have here that just want to continue to get better. And you know, it's a blessing to be around these guys.
What's your reaction, or what do you guys even talk about it, or maybe you personally, when you see those playoff brackets and the Bills in seventh, meaning the last spot, and you've gone from having the standard, like you say, to looking at that and how things can change something.
Yeah. Again, we don't really focus on that. It's just one game at a time that we can focus on, and we know that we're not going to get in with seven wins. We know that we're not going to not make it with four losses. You know what I'm saying? So we got to continue to find ways to play the best of our abilities as these weeks go by, and you know, we got a long week to kind of look at the next opponent and go on from there.
I know you don't know any details, and it's, you know, but at this point, when a guy like Trey goes out, we always talk about next man up, but it's Trey when he's not on the field. You're so used to having him out there. What he means to the team and how the team responded to him being out tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think one, prayer's up for him. I hope nothing's too serious, and I know all the guys in the locker room are praying for him and hurting with him, because, again, you can't say a single bad thing about that man. You know, he comes in, he busts his ass every day. He's such a great teammate. You know, he talks to everybody the right way. And he just does the little things well that not many people see, but that's why he's so good, you know. So hoping that, you know, it's, again, it's not too serious. And whatever the case may be, we got to have guys step up. And I think you guys saw Dane Jackson come in and make some good plays. And, again, we're going to have that going forward. Hey, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, that's Bills quarterback Josh Allen. This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We're going to stick around here for a couple more minutes and wait for head coach Sean McDermott, who will be joining the media here shortly. In the meantime, let's go back to the phones and go to Ed in Orlando, who's been waiting patiently. Ed, happy Thanksgiving. You're on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving from Orlando, Florida. I'm driving my neighbors crazy as I'm yelling out the windows that are open right now.
Love it.
But listen, hey, I wanted to bring to your attention, did anybody catch that Tyler Bass was taking a two-step kickoff? And I loved it because instead of booming the ball out of the end zone, we encouraged runbacks. And look at some of the runbacks that New Orleans had. They never got to the 20-yard line, much less the 25-yard line. And I think that's a great strategy going forward. Instead of consistently kicking it out of the end zone, encourage some of these runbacks, go down there, make the tackle, because that makes the drives a lot more difficult and longer for a lot of the opposing teams. And I hope that we keep on doing something along that strategy instead of just kicking it out of the end zone and giving the ball at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, I don't have the average starting field position from this game, Ed, but I definitely have to agree with you. I noticed the same thing throughout the game today. And You know, it seems just like Bass is really good at identifying, okay, here's where I want to kick the ball. It's sort of like watching a golfer who just knows his distance, knows his clubs, and is able to hit the mark time and time again. He was putting it at the goal line or just before it on every kick, and that puts a lot of pressure, especially, Ed, when he's kicking the ball a little higher, and it allows that time for his kick team to get down there in kick coverage. It looked like a game plan sort of thing from this game, and to your point, I thought it worked really, really well.
Right, he takes a two-step approach. And it's almost
Can kick it out of the back of the end zone or 10 yards in front of the goal line with the same two steps. I mean, the power in that leg is pretty notable.
Well, I tell you what, if he could keep on dropping 9 irons between the goal line and the 5 yard line, encouraging run backs, our coverage team was great today because again, anything that you tackle with before the 25 yard line is a win, in my opinion, when it comes to the battle field position. So I'm glad to see that. It's a little thing when it comes to these victories, but it's one of those things that just drove me crazy about all the wasted time and effort booming kicks out of the end zone. So guys, enjoyed it, loved it. My neighbors are going to be glad that I'm going to bed right now. And thanks a lot, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, Ed. Thanks for calling and listening. Let's grab another phone call before we get to Sean McDermott. Let's go to David in Williamsville. David, you're on the postgame show. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I'm grumpy.
Yeah? Why are you grumpy?
A little bit, obviously.
Did you eat too much turducken tonight?
No, I really didn't eat too much of everything. I got cut off because I'm a diabetic. So I did stop eating, but what I'm grumpy about is the offensive and defensive line. I still worry that we need to address that as much as we've needed to previously. And the reason being is it just
Hey, David, I got to put you back on hold because we've got Coach Sean McDermott coming to the podium. I'll get to you on the other side. All right, here's head coach Sean McDermott.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone back home in Buffalo. Can't wait to see you guys back home. And one thing I do want to point out, I thought the kickoff covers, I know it's probably not going to be written about, but that's okay. I'll mention it anyway. Kickoff coverage was outstanding. Special teams, I thought, did a terrific job, giving us a spark and the energy we needed. So with that, I'll turn it over to you.
I wrote about that Andre Smith on Twitter already.
Appreciate it.
But I wanted to ask you to start off, speaking of special teams, Isaiah, big decision this week to keep him down. How did he handle that? It seemed like Micah talked about, you know, him kind of being selfless there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a competitive guy. I understand he wants to be out there, and so that's, you know, that's those emotions are real, and I get that.
Were you happy with Stevens? I mean, for one, but he did recover. Were you happy with how he handled it?
We can't, you know, it was his first game, so there's work to be done there, but I thought he handled himself fairly well in his first game. You know, more than anything, I thought he came in, and having not played in particular for a few months, he handled himself well. So it's really about, number one, taking care of the football. That's number one. That's the number one thing I'm looking for.
Sean, what can you tell us about Tre'Davious White?
Don't know, Josh, at this point. So I think we'll know more in the next couple of days here.
When you see, I mean, obviously it's always the next man up, and I know that's what you preach and everything, but Tre'Davious is it's a special player right there. Yeah. When you see him go down like that, what kind of goes through your head?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, to be honest, you know, I care for all of them the same, regardless of the caliber of player. You know, so we just pray that it's that he's back, and we'll just see where it goes. So we'll just take it one day at a time here.
Coming in for him.
I thought he did a good job. Yeah, I thought he did a good job. He's been in that position before in terms of having to come in, whether it's been for Trey or Levi, and he usually handles himself well, just like he did tonight.
Did you feel, Sean, that Breida gave you a little bit of spark than everyone gave?
I thought both backs ran well. I thought we had a couple opportunities in the first half overall as an offense that we didn't come away with points, or we should have come away with more points. And so we got to look at that. But overall, we were able to overcome, you know, the turnovers in the first half, and thought our defense did a good job with the sudden change defense there. And but I thought both backs in the second half, in particular, ran strong.
Sean, I guess I'll bite. Tell me about this kick coverage.
Awesome. Yeah. No, it was. You know, I'll tell you. I'll give the guys credit, man. You know, and I trust them. I walked. You know, we wanted to kick one out of the end zone when we were up a little bit, and we had a little bit of a lead there, and I was about 20 yards away, and they start looking at me like, you know, and so I said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Let's try and pin them down there." I said, "All right." So I trust them, and I think that was the one that got them on the 11. So it's fun to watch.
What is it about that in terms of the fundamentals of that part of the game that? I don't know. I don't want to assume that you hadn't been pleased with it in the past, and I don't want to read that into it. But what was it about today that was so
well? They were hungry. That's a really good returner as well, and I think they're one of the tops in the league with their return game, and our kickoff coverage was outstanding, and our offense moved the ball well enough that we could get in some sky punt or some pooch punt situations, and I thought Matt Hawk did a great job as well.
When you Mario just now, how much did that D line? Him specifically, Jerry Hughes, how much did they think of personally what happened?
Yeah. By the way they played, it, you know, the message hit home, right? And that's what I expected, to be honest with you. That's what veteran leaders do. They lead by their play. And you know, the physicality of our defense, I thought, was where it needed to be.
From the fourth and two, you could have kicked the field goal. You went for it. Josh, we asked him about showing faith in them in that moment. Do you feel that way in that moment where it's like, I have, you know, faith, and then he came through for
it? I do. I thought it was a great call by Coach Dable and well executed. Yeah, that's what you want. You know, you want to be able to trust your players, and there'll be other situations where we go for it, don't go for it, but at the end of the day, I'm always trying to put the team in the right position to win the game based on score, based on situation.
Why is Dawson having so much success this season?
I think he's using different hair products this year than he did in the years before. You know, he's just confident. I think, you know, over half this game is mental. And I think his confidence is where it needs to be this year. He's had success, and then he's been able to bounce back from some moments where he needed to reset. And I think that shows how mentally tough he is.
What's it like for you seeing a guy, Dawson, he missed a couple games with a broken hand, come back and resume having the season that he was having?
Yeah, I mean, again, that shows how mentally tough he is. And you know, it's great to have him out there. I know Josh has a lot of faith in him.
John, can you speak to the way your team, and you've had, you know, we talked about this earlier this week, two tough losses, and you bounced back really well in after both of them. Can you speak to your team's ability? I know you don't want to keep doing it, but you've done very well when you've had to bounce back after a really bad performance.
Yeah, it's a resilient group. I think they respond to a challenge. And we'll be challenged this week, you know, as we look ahead to the Patriots, and that'll be a big challenge for us.
Just to clarify on Isaiah, was that just a lineup decision on your part, or is he?
My decision.
Okay, he's not dealing with any injury right now?
No. My decision.
Sean, we talked a lot about the penalties and how much of an issue they've been. To get out of today overall with so few, what changed? How do you keep that going for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to make it a conscious effort to play with good technique and good fundamentals and move your feet and get your hands inside, and that's, you know, that's all three sides of the ball. I know we had the one penalty on the quarterback. I thought they should have been called for one, quite honestly, on Josh. Really frustrated that doesn't get called. Really frustrated. That's clear as day to see that. And I just, you know, I want to protect my quarterback. And so, anyway. But, yeah, I thought overall we did a better job playing discipline, playing with better technique. And so it's got to continue. I'm not going to get into all that. I don't want to. That's, you know, I'm not about distractions. I'm just about what I saw out there from a player safety standpoint and what's getting called. You know, I'm sure that they want that back.
You're talking about the one up here, close
third
to your
quarter. It's third quarter. He wasn't running out of bounds, no. It was third quarter, and he took a shot low, and no one was blocked into him. So I couldn't even tell you exactly where it was, but.
Because there were a couple, and I'm trying to pinpoint which one it was. Because he got pushed out of bounds on their sideline.
Right. Yeah, it's just the one. We can move on. I made my point. Yeah, I made my point.
Tonight for you guys, you know, the offensively speaking, got going in the second half. I thought in the first half I saw one part where Emmanuel looked really frustrated with something. And during this time, we're trying to figure all this stuff, and there's going to be those frustrating moments. In your experience, does that help to kind of have those conversations on the sideline when you're trying to figure things out?
Give me, you're saying Emmanuel?
Yeah, he came off the field after a second down. He just looked frustrated and, you know, kind of sitting off to the side, talking to Josh afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Working through this stuff, because there's been frustrating times for this offense the last couple weeks.
Right.
A lot went well. Are those moments good?
Well, I mean, you look at the just the tail of two halves. The first half, there was more meat on the bone there. No pun intended for Thanksgiving, but in the second half, I thought we executed at a higher level. Even the screen to Breida in the high red zone there on third and long, good call, and we executed. And that's we haven't always done that. I mean, we've gotten sloppy. I feel like at times, and I felt like in the first half we were sloppy at times, and then we picked it up in the second half. So, listen, it's not always going to be exactly how you draw it up. But I expect more. I really do. And that's the standard that we have here.
What can the guys learn from the way the first half ended with Knox's second touchdown being taken off the board and then Josh's pick?
Yeah, that's a little bit of what I'm talking about. I mean, it's that's not how you win games, playing like that. And, we had a execution error there, and we were sloppy, right? We turned the ball over twice, especially in the red zone. Take points off the board should have been at least three, let alone seven.
Sean, you talked all about Ed Oliver and the year he's having. What did you see out of him tonight and finally getting out that?
Yeah, I thought the juice overall, you know, the energy level of the team was outstanding, and the defensive line I thought did a good job leading that as well as the special teams unit. So that's what we're looking for, and I thought he did a good job with that.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, that was Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and Sean McDermott's Coach's Podium is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown, the official dealership of the Buffalo Bills. So we're going to take a timeout. Before we do that, I do want to pause 10 seconds for station identification and to allow the stations across the Buffalo Bills radio network to identify themselves. So let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Buffalo Bills radio network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey station.
All right, we're going to take a timeout back here in our Amherst studios. We'll continue breaking down the Bills' 31-6 Thanksgiving Day win over the New Orleans Saints. You're listening to Buffalo Bills postgame. This is Buffalo Bills football.
The snap. Josh fakes a handoff, sets up the throw, got a man wide open, caught at the 14-yard line, Dawson Knox inside the 5, headed to the end zone, touchdown Buffalo! On 4th and 2, they throw a strike, a touchdown pass, Josh Allen to Dawson Knox.
That's John Murphy on the call. The Bills beat the Saints today on Thanksgiving, the night game in primetime on NBC. They beat the Saints 31-6. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase bringing you this postgame coverage. And time now to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Nextiva, the official communications partner, and by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills. Your power your business connection with Premcom. Let's go back to David in Williamsville, who had a cut off to bring on the coach. Sorry about that, David. You were talking about the O-line and D-line tonight. Yes. Let's finish up our conversation. Huh?
You guys are gentlemen, and I mentioned I'm grumpy, and that sounds sour grapes. But all I'm thinking is, as we easily dominated the game, we had continuing difficulties with offensive line and defensive line. And I don't mean tragic. I just mean they really are struggling, and I hope we invest in shoring up both sides of that.
No, I agree, David. Thanks for the call. I looked at today's game, and you know, one of the performances that sort of stands out to me from today is Deion Dawkins, who I thought probably played his worst game of the season, and he's had a couple of real stinkers this year, and today definitely stood out to me as one of those games. And it's just, you know, I don't know if he's still dealing with some COVID issues or what it is, but it's just vitally important that he sort of finds his way back into being this team's best and most consistent offensive lineman, because without it, I mean, they're in a deep if Deion Dawkins can't sort of figure it out here over the next couple of weeks. Matthew Judon coming in next week right now is playing like one of the best edge players in the league. And, you know, they're going to have their work cut out for them next week on Monday Night Football against the New England Patriots and Matthew Judon. But thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out on hold too, and happy Thanksgiving. Let's go to Mark in D.C. Mark, you're on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Welcome.
Hey, Nate. Happy Thanksgiving, man. Thanks for having me on.
You as well. Thanks for listening.
Dave had too much turkey. We won 31-6, man. Great game. I watched it at a bar in D.C. with, like, two other Bills fans, so kudos to us. We all knew the Saints had, you know, multiple injuries and whatnot, but still, I mean, the run game was great. Breida, great change of pace. You know, it kind of looked like the Saints were nervous on defense, kind of like protecting that. They just looked different in the run game. Defense was very solid, like as expected, you know, against, you know, obviously backups and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, previous to other weeks, McDermott, great clock management tonight. He went for it on fourth down a couple times. Like one was for, I think it ended up in the drive for a touchdown. And just enjoy it, man. You know, as a Bills fan, like Thanksgiving, great day. Like just enjoy it. I'm in love with Josh Allen. I'm in love with him. I'm in love with him. Great day to be a Bills fan. Just raise a glass of wine to that. Just cheers. No, I'll hang up.
Thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, listen, I think I saw a tweet halfway through the third quarter, and it was like, the Bills are going to win this game by 30 points, and we're still going to be grouchy about it, aren't we? And listen, I with the standard that has been risen for this football team, games like this against a team that is as shorthanded as the Saints, you know, you want to see the Bills win it decisively. And I think in that first half, being up 10-0, knowing that they, I think, squandered two opportunities for touchdowns, Josh Allen throws his first red zone interception of the season, and if that, or of his career, I should say, in the regular season, and if that isn't sort of a microcosm of sort of the weirdness of the last couple of weeks, I mean, everything that pretty much can or could have gone wrong over the last couple of weeks has gone wrong, and I guess I give the Bills credit for powering through that today and not letting that be a reason they drop one to a team they very clearly should have beaten. And listen, I mean, this football team today with the players that they have, it feels like they're a better football team than Jacksonville, and they dropped the dud against the Jaguars. So at this point, it's hard for me to take any game or any win for granted. But today, I think I'll leave not really knowing much more about this football team other than they need Deion Dawkins to play better at left tackle. They desperately need a positive diagnosis on Tre'Davious White's knee injury that he went down with in the first half. And they need to continue featuring Matt Breida. And it sort of feels like at this point that Zach Moss could find himself a regular on that healthy scratch inactive list. 803-0550. Thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate you, man. Let's go to Pat in Boston. Pat, you're on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Welcome.
Oh, hey, boys. Great win. I moved to Boston in 1975 when I was 4 years old, and I'm still a Bills fan. And games like tonight make me worried about playing Belichick with some of the decisions that McDermott's been making the last couple games. Obviously, we were better than New Orleans, but what are you doing here with this, you know, punting with a fourth and one? I don't know. We're a better team. We're good. We're strong. Like, just make smart decisions. And when you play the Patriots, don't back off. Like, you got to be aggressive, because Monday night is the biggest game in 2 years.
Yeah.
In the AFC. And I'm just saying this. We're a better team than the Patriots right now. They have a rookie quarterback. They have a good defense, right? They're fine. But
we're good to go here. So just play smart and play strong and be aggressive. And I think we're going to be fine. But if he doesn't do that, then it's going to be the same old Bills for the last 20 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Pat, I mean, to your point, Sean Payton in this game was maybe too far in the other direction of aggressive. Now, you're playing shorthanded. You don't have your starting quarterback or your second-string quarterback. You're down your top two running backs. You're down your starting Pro Bowl right tackle. So maybe, you know, if you're a head coach, you're chasing points anyways. You know, finding the happy median about, you know, kind of who McDermott was today and who Peyton was, I think is sort of where I want to be. And I like the decision early in that football game to go for it. But if you're taking a shot down the field on third and inches and you're not just trying to get the first down there, the mindset has to be if you're taking a shot on a one-on-one vertical route on the left side, that on fourth and inches you're going for it. And I agree on that. I'd like to see McDermott go for it. I'm not gonna maybe nitpick that one as much, Pat, only because this was a three and a half, four score game, at that point it is what it is. But I'm on the same page with you with wanting to see him continue to remain aggressive in those situations. And I know when you get Josh Allen down there and everyone's concentrated and cramped up in the line of scrimmage, in the box, you know, I don't love the idea of just walking up there with Josh Allen and trying to move forward with a quarterback sneak. With this particular offensive line, I just don't think they're a powerful unit. I think they're more of a finesse and pass-blocking unit up front in the offensive line. So maybe, you know, going into shotgun, trying to spread them out a little bit to create a couple openings up there, and then find a way to maybe, you know, run a read option or something along the lines of design quarterback run, where you're not just trying to run up the middle in the A gap where you've got, you know, six primary defenders all waiting for the snap of the ball. So, like I said, Pat, I think I'm with you. I think it's just finding that happy median.
Yeah, and I'll say one more thing. I think Dawson Knox is starting to be a player that teams need to worry about, and we should make that happen.
Yeah.
Because he's really good.
Yeah, I mentioned it during the game today, Pat. Thanks for the call, by the way, Pat. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, my friend.
You too.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I said this during the game. Like, I feel like he's broaching elite territory. He's not there. Someone made a point to me on Twitter, and sort of the reply, which was, he's not at the Kittle, Kelsey, I don't know who else you might want to put in that very top
Waller,
tier.
Waller, probably.
But he's probably getting to the Hockenson, Font, and like Mark Andrews territory, which is like not the top of the best, but like he is right there. And for that to come sort of this far in 12 weeks, I think says a lot about, A, this offense's reliance on him since the end of last year. But his development as a pass catcher, and Josh Allen kind of says it best, right? Like, he's the sort of guy that it's too quick for linebackers and is probably too large and too big for corners. He does really become a matchup nightmare for teams. And to Pat's point there, you know, you want to maybe start leaning into that a little bit more. And he opens up the middle of the field, I think, for this team. And if you start to over-concentrate yourself on guys like Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley, that's going to open things up for Dawson Knox. At this point, though, Dawson Knox is not going to see very many double teams or bracketed coverage. I think that's a huge advantage for him.
Seeing that Mark Andrews tier?
Yeah.
Mark Andrews and, like, Gronkowski maybe at this point even still.
Yeah, I sort of mentioned, like, Hockenson, Fant, Andrews, like, probably right up there with those guys. Like, top five.
That's the second tier of
top
tight ends in the league.
Top eight in the league.
Yeah,
I think I'm okay with that. I mentioned this earlier in the season, but out of that group of guys, he might be the best vertical threat in the league. Beyond, like, right there with Kelsey. Kelsey's a vertical threat in almost kind of a different way than Dawson Knox is, but like, I think he is right up there with the best of the best as a vertical tight end threat. There's not a ton of guys like that in the league at that position. But from an overall perspective, yeah, like he probably leads and highlights that list of that second tier. And I think it's a testament to where he's come, you know, early on this football season. 803-0550. I got an open phone line. I'm going to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll continue taking your phone calls. We'll get you your play of the game by Country Suite. We'll also get you set up for the Bills next week matchup against the New England Patriots. Patriots on Monday night. So we've got a lot coming your way over the next about hour or so. So stick around with us here on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Down to five on the play clock now. Josh looks like he's ready to go. He is. There it is. Josh fires a short one. This one caught. And it is Matt Breida who gets a good block at the 10 to the 5. Touchdown. Matt Breida, touchdown Buffalo. A 23-yard pass and catch. And the Bills are pouring it on now.
That Matt Breida touchdown is our sweet play of the game, and it's brought to you by Country Sweet. It's all about the sauce. Matt Breida sort of gets the start here today for the Bills with we obviously getting Zach Moss as a healthy scratch in this game, and Breida finishes the game in the afternoon with 9 carries for 26 yards and 2 catches for 29 yards, and that score you heard there for our sweet play of the game. The Bills, they win today 31-6. They get to 7-4 on the season. Let's go back to the phones quickly, grab a phone call, and we'll hear from Ed Oliver and Mario Addison, who spoke to the media after the game. Let's go to Connor in Buffalo. Connor, you're on the postgame show. Welcome.
Good afternoon or good evening, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. So I was just hoping to get your opinion on how we're feeling about New England versus Tennessee on Sunday. So in a perfect world, I feel like we might want to root for the Pats. But then again, I also know we don't win that tiebreaker to the Titans. We would have to beat the Pats twice. So there's a lot of things that would need to go our way. But I feel like the one seed dreams are maybe not completely dead yet. Just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Can I tell you honestly, Connor?
Yeah.
Number one seed sort of in my rearview mirror. I don't think I see it happening this year. And I think if I'm being honest, I try to think about who is maybe the least concerning team for me to be in the one seed, and I think it's Tennessee. I think if Tennessee finds a way, even if they get Derrick Henry back for the playoffs, and I don't want to pass this question to Joe because I know he's got a long extra point show tomorrow to probably talk about this very exact same thing. I feel like I'm totally fine if Tennessee wins tomorrow or wins on Sunday and then wins the one seed. I just am not concerned with them in the least bit, Connor.
Yeah, I totally get you. And it would feel nice to have a game up on New England.
Yes. Yeah, that's sort of where I'm thinking as well. And another AFC loss for New England. That's kind of what I'm looking at this point. Again, like I am almost unbothered by whatever it is that Tennessee does this year.
Yeah, I get you. And I feel like, you know, maybe the Bills will have a little bit of confidence. Then hopefully that'll carry through to Monday night. We'll see how that goes.
Well, thank you very much, Connor. Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for calling and listening, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Appreciate it. Will do. Let's go to the locker room. We've got an open phone line, 803-0551, 888-552-552. You're hanging out on hold. I'll get to you as well. We're going to go to the locker room and hear from Bills defensive tackle Ed Oliver and defensive end Mario Addison.
I ain't been in front of this many people since I lost my passport. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. For really both of you tonight, you were dominating pretty early in that game up front.
Yes, sir. I feel as though, you know, we needed a fast start by the D-line. And, you know, last game, it didn't go as planned. So we wanted to start fast, you know, and jump on quick. And I think this was the game to do it, to, you know, to get back on track.
And how good did it feel to get that sack?
It felt great. They didn't took 7 minutes away from me. I thought they were gonna take that one away because I hit them kind of low. I said, well, there go another one. So, just to get one on the board was like a big monkey off my back. But to tell the truth, last week when I got one and it didn't count, I was just like, man, forget it. I ain't gonna even worry about him. And then lo and behold, I got another one this week. So this one counted.
Yo, it's a baller, man. You know, like you said, they took like 3 sacks away from him in the last couple of games. And for him to get that sack too, I was more excited for him than anything, you know, because he deserved it. But he's a baller.
Mario, you've seen a lot in this league. You've been around. Veteran, when you have a performance like last week where it didn't go well for you guys, especially up front,
Do you say something early on this week to the group? Do you step up and say something?
I always do. You know, like I said, I always start with the D-line first. You know, that's my position group. And the D-line, you know, we work so hard. You know, and for you to come up short the way we did, you know, sometimes it can be demoralized. But like I said, I've been in this league a long time. You know, I done kicked a lot of people's ass. I done got my ass kicked too. You know, that's just the nature of the business. You got to flush that and do it all over again. And, you know, everybody had a great mindset going into this game. You know, we were just ready. And we showed it when we got out there.
And what is it about the Thanksgiving games for you? You had in Dallas, big game tonight?
To be honest, I don't know. Both of the games been pretty close to home. Like, I got a lot of family in Louisiana, a lot of family in Texas, so I get in front of my folks. It's like, man, I didn't pay for all these tickets, y'all to come here, so hey, I gotta go hard. Unless I'm wasting money, really.
How many tickets for this one?
40. Ooh. Yeah, 40 tickets, so I basically played for free. My mom then was in a box, so I played for free. But I know they appreciate it. So.
I'm good on run defense tonight. Obviously, they're talent, Kamara, and right. Aaron. But you guys had to stop the run first, right?
Well, you can say they down, but it's the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Everybody get paid to be here, so
that's true.
It don't matter if Kamara was there or not there. Anybody can run the football. You got to take it upon yourself to knock it out.
If they got a running back there, like you said, it's the NFL. They deserve to be there.
Right.
So it don't matter who was back there. You know, it was up for us to stop them. It don't matter who was back there. And I think we did a tremendous job doing it.
Yeah. Everybody on the defense, any of the units, or even on the offense too, special teams, their unit would also say we needed to get off to a fast start today, like you said.
Yes, sir.
Here at the beginning. Why, though, if you can maybe elaborate, why you guys felt as a unit maybe you had something to prove, or what was why you felt it as a group?
We know the way we played, you know, last game, it wasn't us. So getting out to a fast start, you know, it just gives us more momentum. And we feed off each other. You know, the offense feed off the defense feed off the offense. Special teams feed off both groups. We feed off special teams. So when guys make big plays, everybody, you know, jump up. And it's just fun. It's fun when you jump on fast versus when you have to come from behind. And we got a good team. We got a damn good team. But sometimes we don't play like it. So the thing we got to do is play more consistent ball. And we just got to continue, you know, to find a way, you know, to play consistent ball.
Mario, the fourth and two play, can you just kind of describe what you saw there? It seemed like Edwards was pretty disruptive in the middle, and then you were able to finish that play.
So the center snapped the ball. You know, it happened so fast. Some guys didn't move. So we thought somebody was outside. So I'm like, then I seen Ed shoot the gap. I'm like, oh, Ed made him bounce to me. And while I was going in for the tackle, and he kind of stiff on me a little, you know, but I kept, you know, crawling and scratching. And when he fell to the ground, I was happy as hell. Because last time when I got stiff on by Derrick Henry, when Derrick Henry stiff on me in that Tennessee game, it was a 3-yard loss. He didn't throw me. So, it's, you know, he didn't throw me. But now I know I had to get him down. So I went to, you know, crawling and scratching. And when he fell, man, it was the whole crowd went crazy. You know, we had enough Buffalo fans here to really just take over. And they went crazy. And to see the sideline, you know, and the guys behind me just, you know, jumping up and down, that's fun, man. That's fun ball.
And I think they officially credited the sack as a split between you and FA after.
Oh, we're going to have to turn that in. Nah, my first one ain't coming in half. No. Nah, but that's cool, though. I ain't tripping.
That's Bill's defensive tackle, Ed Oliver, and defensive end Mario Addison. I just tweeted out as I was listening to those guys. I mean, they really might be the two most entertaining listens after a football game. Like, those two guys should be the mainstays together after each and every game. Those are the guys I want to hear from. Let's go back to the phones because I want to hear from you as well. Let's go to Justin, who's been hanging out on hold. Justin, you're on the post-game show here. What do you got for me, man?
Hey, I was just calling to make sure you were hanging in there.
Hey, I'm awake. I've got a pulse. I've got a fresh water bottle that I just cracked open, so I'm doing about as good as I can do.
My man, I just cut some cheese and crackers. I have a bottle of water. I'm going to get some sleep and celebrate my birthday today.
Hey, and happy birthday, brother.
Bills, yeah, man, the Bills have a decent record when they play on 24 hours before or 24 hours or after my birthday. I think we're doing pretty good in that aspect. I started keeping track of that.
You should. Yeah, you should.
Yeah, it's an important stat. More important and serious, I probably let you down. I didn't listen to the first part of your show. I apologize.
That's all right, man.
I had to comfort a Saints fan, my brother-in-law. Sorry about his luck. I told him he can't mess with me on my birthday. He was screwed. But Trey White, I don't know if you've covered that already. If you did, I missed it. Does anyone know anything? I'm assuming it's what we all probably think it is the ACL. And if it is, if we find out here in a day or two or whatever that it is or it's something serious that's going to keep him out, obviously, for an indefinite amount of time, what are we going to do?
Yeah, obviously,
what are we going to do? I thought literally when he went down and Dane Jackson was in, I thought, oh, God. Here we go. Like they're just gonna throw, and it's either gonna happen or it's not. It's gonna work or it's not, and we're gonna find out. And I think our defense got pressure. That asking them to do that from next Monday through February to take the pressure off, having your star quarterback. I don't know if that's realistic or not, and I'm just. As we get later into the night here and into the following day, I'm really, really bummed out that
no doubt
that Trey's hurt. So, I'll hang up and happy Thanksgiving, man. I hope you and yours had a wonderful holiday. Great win. Pray for Trey. Stay safe, and I'll hang up. Listen to your answer, brother.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Appreciate you as always, man. And happy Thanksgiving and happy birthday to you, my buddy. Obviously the Trey White injury. Is just one where I think we're not going to really know. I would bet you we know tomorrow the extent of the injury. I mean, he didn't come back into the game. Even if he doesn't end up tearing his ACL and it's just an MCL or some kind of ligament sprain, you're probably looking anywhere between 2 and 5 weeks, which would probably end his regular season. But to have the ability to get him back in the playoffs would be a huge development for me. Probably best case scenario if you are a Bills fan at this point. I thought Dane Jackson did a good job coming in, but let's be real. I mean, Trevor Siemian throwing to Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris aren't exactly putting fear into anybody, much less Dane Jackson and the secondary. So, yeah, obviously, it's not a good situation. Maybe I'm looking at it a little bit more negatively than I should, but I don't have too much faith that this team is going to be able to make a run without Tre'Davious White. I just think he's too important to this football team. Let's take one more phone call before we take a timeout. Let's go to Russ and Olean. Russ, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Russ. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hi, I'm just wondering what the story is with Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, so it sounded like, Russ, Coach McDermott was pretty stern in saying it was his call to sit Isaiah McKenzie. I think, I don't know if I want to necessarily say that he was scapegoated a little bit, but I think that more than likely an example was sort of made for him. I think Marquez Stevenson got the opportunity today to return kicks. I think they wanted to activate him off the IR, give him an opportunity back there to see what he could do after the fumble that McKenzie had last week against the Colts. I mean, that fumble was at a really tough time in that football game, and it really was, I think, the determining factor and sort of the swing factor in that football game that put the game out of reach for good. And I think that stuck with Sean McDermott. I think that's why you saw McKenzie get the healthy scratch today. I don't know if that's something we're going to continue to see moving forward, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised if their move here is maybe to go with Callaway for the rest of the way. Or I'm sorry, not Callaway, Stevenson for the rest of the way.
That's kind of surprising, but you don't think there's more to that, huh?
I would say no. I don't think there's more to it. I think that's just kind of the nature of who Sean McDermott is. I mean, if you look in this game early on in that first half,
Russ. Breida goes the wrong way on that screen pass that ends up being a touchdown that gets called back, that Dawson Knox touchdown right before the end of the first half, and then Allen throws that pick. Breida didn't see the field again until early in the fourth quarter. So I think that was him sort of going to the doghouse with McDermott after going the wrong way on that play. And listen, I think right now they're trying some things. It didn't look good last week, and they wanted to make some changes to the game day roster. And I think with Stevenson being healthy, that likely, if Stevenson's not healthy and he doesn't get activated off the IR, McKenzie's back in the game, you know?
Okay, it just seemed kind of abrupt that he got scratched like that. And I also saw that he tweeted out he was out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm not exactly sure what to make of that. I guess we'll see if that ends up coming true. But it wouldn't be because of injury. It would be because, you know, that ultimately he's gotten benched here. And I don't think we're at the point where Stevenson has taken the job from him yet. But it certainly looks like, Russ, they're going to give him an opportunity to.
Okay, it just seems awful strange to me, but
I'm with you, man. I think he's been good this season, and I do think that maybe the rip cord was a little short there for McKenzie, but clearly Sean McDermott wants to, you know, send him a message. So we'll see how it goes. But thanks for the call, Russ. I appreciate you, man, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We're going to take a timeout on the other side. We'll continue taking phone calls, 803-0550. The number's to call, and so we'll get to that. We'll also get you a look at next week's game, that Monday Night Football game. So we've got a couple more segments here of the Buffalo Bills postgame show. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
I think he's using different hair products this year than he did in the years before. You know, he's just confident. I think, you know, over half this game is mental, and I think his confidence is where it needs to be this year. He's had success, and then he's been able to bounce back from some moments where he needed to reset. I think that shows how mentally tough he is.
Supposedly, more conditioner, less shampoo? Is that the rumor that I heard?
I think that's kind of what it looks like. Like, it kind of makes sense if you look at his hair this year. A little more poof.
Doesn't it make it a little greasy, though? I don't know. I'm not a conditioner guy.
I don't know either.
I'm also not a 2-in-1 guy. I think that's such a cop-out.
I see. I'm a 2-in-1 guy.
Are you?
I am.
You know what? That makes sense. You're just lazy, Joe. That's lazy.
Yes,
that was a lazy millennial.
Exactly. You know, I have two bottles. I have the 2-in-1 shampoo. At least I have two bottles.
That's true.
I've got the body wash, and then I've got the 2-in-1. Some people
at
have
least
the 3-in-1.
Which is a true degenerate male millennial.
Yes.
you know, that's exactly what that is. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Let's go back to the phones and get connected with our fans. And it's powered by Nextiva, the official communications partner, and by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills. Power your business connection with Premcom. Let's go to Bobby in Niagara Falls. Bobby, you're on the postgame show. Welcome.
Hi, Nate. I'm a 2-in-1 guy myself. what I wanted to tell you before I ask my question, I was telling my girlfriend that I've been a big fan of yours for quite some time, and I told her that I put you up with Howard, Jeremy, and Sal. You four are my favorite GR people.
That, Bobby. Anytime I get mentioned with Howard Simon, I consider that's almost like royalty.
So I hope Alan, I don't know if Alan Davis is still your PD,
he is.
But I hope he keeps you around for a while.
Well, I appreciate that, Bobby. It's that's very nice of you to say. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, too, by the way.
Happy Thanksgiving, Nate. My question is, I'd like to see, and I don't know if it's possible, I'd like to see Dane Jackson surprise people. I don't know much about him. Is he very young? Did he come up through the draft, or how did we get him?
Yeah, so he's a second-year player. Undrafted, Joe? Was he or late Dane Jackson? Maybe like a later round, fifth, sixth, seventh round guy.
Seventh round last year out of Pitt.
Yes, that's right. Seventh round pick out of Pitt. Came highly talked about though. Like Aaron Donald said some good things about him. I know Pat Narduzzi, the coach in Pitt, also just raved about his work ethic and his leadership ability at Pitt. But yeah, he was a later round pick last year, but fought in camp and obviously the starting job. job went to Levi Wallace, who again just kind of continues to do his thing. And anybody they bring in to try to take his job, he ends up beating out. So, but yeah, with Dane Jackson, Bobby, it'll be interesting to see if he gets this opportunity over here over the next couple of weeks. Is hopefully, you know, I think in everyone's perfect world, Dane Jackson's only in for a couple of weeks, and you know, we at some point here get Trey White back.
Well, what I was hoping with some coaching that maybe he could surprise people. Is that a possibility, do you think, or not?
I think based on, Bobby, the system that they run, which is predicated mostly on, like, a lot of zone coverage, I think you can sort of hide or disguise Dane Jackson a little bit. But, you know, in a game in a matchup against Tampa Bay here in a couple of weeks where you got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and the things they do, and, you know, you start to look at some of these matchups as you head towards the end of the season and into the playoffs in the AFC, you know, it would definitely worry me with some of these teams with deeper wide receiver groups, two and three deep, where, you know, you might not be able to disguise or hide Dane Jackson as much. But I'm not thinking he's some sort of anchor, though. Like, I think he can still get out there and get the job done. It's just not going to be the same as what you have with Trey White, that's for sure.
Well, Nate, I'm going to say one more thing.
Sure.
Personally, I'm going to utilize the power of prayer with regard to this whole Bills situation. That's what I'm going to do.
I hear you, man. I am hoping that it is a quick turnaround. It's a sprain or a strain of some sort. And, you know, this isn't some sort of long-term ACL tear, because, you know, that would just be a gut punch for the team. And just based on sort of the last month of this team and the luck that they've had, it would feel pretty low for me, I know, and a lot of other people as well.
Well, thanks very much, Nate.
My pleasure, Bobby. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. And like I said, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Nate. Bye-bye.
All right, Bobby. Appreciate you. Let's take a time out on the other side. We'll grab another phone call. We'll also hear from Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde as well. That's all coming up here on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. This is Buffalo Bills Football.
Saints ready to go on 2nd and 10. The snap. Simeon back to pass, looking downfield, and it's picked off. Picked off at the 40-yard line, intercepted by Jordan Poyer. Cuts to the middle, and he goes down at the 44-yard line of the New Orleans Saints. A poorly thrown ball by Trevor Siemian, and they step right in front of it.
John Murphy on the call there. The Bills, they beat the Saints on Thursday Night Football, Thanksgiving in prime time. 31-6. The Bills move to 7-4 on the season. Let's grab one more phone call before we hear from the safety tandem, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Let's go to Andrew, who's in Florida. Andrew, you're on the postgame show. Welcome.
Nate, what's going on, man? How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, so a couple things. So I'm down here in St. Pete, Florida. Bills fan for life. You know, it's tough down here because you got all these Bucks guys everywhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I know we got the Bucks coming up in a couple weeks. You know, Trey going out tonight hurts. We don't know what's going on. But, you know, to me, and I got a question for you, a statement and a question, I guess. To me, you know, I feel like we match up pretty well with the Patriots. You know, is it just me? Am I the only one that's not too concerned? I mean, I mean, everybody, national media is giving them all this hype, but you know, I don't see anything flashy from the offense. They kind of, you know, take what you give you. They don't push the ball downfield. I mean, it just kind of works. Kind of what we do on defense, you know what I mean? I just don't see a big threat there. And then defensively, you know, who knows what happens every you know, last year they played man against us a whole lot, you know, we did pretty well with that. I think if they go that route, I think we roll, you know. Am I the only one that thinks that we match up pretty well with the Patriots? I just don't see the hype, you know, I don't know.
No, I think they do too. I think the Patriots right now are playing the best football of their season, and the Bills are right now. I think I saw something by Football Outsiders that the Bills have the highest variance per week to week than any team they've ever measured in their DVOA structure. So it's tough because the Bills aren't playing consistent football, whereas the Patriots are. And I think that's maybe what a lot of people are looking at is, well, who can you count on week in and week out? And right now, I think you can count on the Patriots to play a brand of football that is maybe not the sexiest, but it gets the job done, right? It keeps them in football games. They're not going to turn the ball over. And right now the Bills,
they're turning the ball over. They are still drive, like even last week, Andrew. I mean, they ended up, I think, with 5.7 yards per play, which is really good. But they turned the ball over three or four times. So I think, you know, it's tough to kind of balance the variance right now that the Bills are sort of seeing. But I think if they can, that they are the better football team. I still believe that, and I believe the same thing that I believed in week one, that, you know, ultimately I sort of figured that Mac Jones was going to be the quarterback there, but I never really felt like, you know, I was worried about Mac Jones or something. Like, he is, you know, to take it from Dennis Green, he is who I kind of thought he was. He's a game manager, and he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. So if the Bills can force him into a couple mistakes, obviously the Trey White point will kind of keep coming up, and I'm sure it'll keep coming up all week until we sort of find out, you know, what the damage is. But I would tell you that with or without Trey White, I still like the Bills in that matchup for sure.
So just one more thing, yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, the teams that we've been exposed by this year, you know, Jonathan Taylor, you got Henry, you know, they don't have that guy. I mean, Harris, the rookie Stevenson, they're good. Don't get me wrong, they're good, you know, but they're not these dominant power backs that we've, you know, kind of seen that we've been exposed by. I don't know. I think if we contain them and we play our style, I don't think that Mac's pushing the ball down the field and putting up 30 points against us to get it done. And then secondly, real quick, and I'll be done. You know, I think with Trey being out, I mean, I've been watching sports a long time. I know you guys have. I've played, you know, some almost pro sports. Tre'Davious looked pretty hurt, you know.
Yeah.
That on the sidelines when he's that upset and, you know, tears and, you know, frustration, he's hurt. I think we can match up against the Patriots. I really do. And not really too concerned about N'Keal Harry or Jacoby Myers. I think we can match up with them with Dane Jackson. From what we've seen of him, I think he's pretty, you know, he's a viable option to go in there and fill in with our safeties and give him some help. I think we have, you know, two of the best safeties in the league.
Yeah.
But I can just tell you this, being down here in St. Pete, you know, in the Tampa Bay area, it scares the crap out of me with Tampa Bay without Trey. There's just too many weapons.
You know,
I'm trying to be real, but I hope it's not as long as we hope it is, you know, say a little prayer that it's not as bad as
it looks,
kind of saying right now, but you know what I mean? But just wanted to point that out and say thanks and happy Thanksgiving to you guys. And thanks for doing what you guys do.
Yeah. Thanks. And happy Thanksgiving to you, man. We appreciate it. And thanks for the, you ended up just teeing up my next segment. I'm about to kick it to Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde right now, the best safety tandem in the league. So you got a future in this radio thing, Andrew.
I appreciate it.
Thanks,
have a
boss.
Good night. All right.
Appreciate it. You too, man. Let's go to the locker room. Let's hear from Bills safety tandem, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.